Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everyone. It's Robin here, and I am sending you this message from Istanbul. I had hoped to podcast more often, but I've been absolutely exhausted. This is partly being English and not being used to the heat, and partly racing around carrying a tripod trying to shoot everything I've seen. I'm not talking from a script today, so you'll get all the ums and ahs you'd get in real life. I have had an amazing time. I've gone through very different emotions during the trip. The first couple of days, I found out a couple of things I wanted to see were closed for refurbishment, which was a real downer, and I then visited the Hagia Sophia and Cora. And, you know, large parts of them are scaffolded off and being restored. And I found the same over the next few days. On the flip side, I've found and been shown a load of things I didn't know were here. And everything is amazing that I've seen. And the variety has surprised me. You know, I've seen things I didn't plan on seeing. But even the things I knew well and I'd Google image search to death, it's just not the same. Seeing them on a screen. The modern cameras are so good. They make you think things are smaller and have less depth than they really do. So, it's been really positive. I am living the dream, even in a very tired and sweaty state as I record this. Apologies for the different audio quality. I am recording on my phone, and if you hear annoying taps, that is me scrolling on my phone to remind myself of what to talk about. So day one, I arrived quite sleep deprived, but I went to the Hagia Sophia. I had to go. It was very surreal seeing it for the first time. I don't think it hit me, the emotion of being there, until I went up into the galleries. Because you walk in and there's a lot of scaffolding. It's still amazing. The building is vast, and because of the design with the two semi-domes supporting the main dome and no arches in your way, you just are shocked by how wide and vast and tall the building is with nothing obscuring your view. But it's only when I went up to the galleries and you're so much closer to the architecture and the walls, and yet it's still vast and the dome is still high above you, that it really hit me where I was. And you see the mosaics and you see places where people would have stood. And even the walkways impressed me. I'd never really thought about how you get up to the gallery. You kind of assume there'll be a staircase, but no, it's a very elegant walkway that winds up and up and up. So, yeah, that was amazing. And then day two, I went to Cora, which is the church out by the walls that still has a lot of its original mosaics and frescoes, and gives you a real idea of what the Hagia Sophia and other churches would have looked like. And that was fantastic. You get a real visual statement of Byzantine Christian belief and some very powerful images, even in a relatively small church and even with parts of it closed off. So that was a great start, and I was just kind of testing the cameras and testing the tripod and testing my endurance. Day three, I went absolutely everywhere around the palace. I was shown around by the man behind the Byzantine Legacy website, and I've shared his Facebook page, but check it out. You can Google Byzantine Legacy, and pretty much anything Istanbul, Constantinople, he's got it covered. The site is still developing, but he's doing fantastic work, and he's very generous with his time, and he showed me around. There are, 15, 20 places where you can go underground and see parts of the palace. Obviously, you probably know about the Basilica Cistern, but there are, I don't know, half a dozen other cisterns, and then just bits of the palace in restaurants, in bakeries, in travel agents, several hotels. Wherever it's been excavated, and they've found stuff underground, and if you know who to ask, you can see it. So that was fantastic. And I have to say, restoration has been a thing here. A lot of criticism of some of the restoration, but there's also a lot of great stuff. You know, there's one hotel who'd converted a whole area into a restaurant and bar, and even looked like they had nightclub, had dancing around these columns and sort of the walls of an old cistern. And, it's a way to maintain them and keep them in use without damaging them. And I've seen that all over the city. You know, there's an art installation in an old cistern. Obviously, the motorway, the highway runs through the arches of the Aqueduct of Valens. So I'm quite impressed with the way the Byzantine relics are kept alive in most parts of the city. Day four, I went on another tour with an excellent local guide. And we went several places, but the highlight were going into two mosques, which are former Byzantine churches. The Myrilleion, Romanus Lycaponossus Church, and the Theotokos Kyriotissa, which has a really interesting history and was taken over by Catholic monks and churchmen during the occupation by the Crusaders. And really interesting stuff to see and talk about there. And, I've not really been in a mosque before. And, one of the imams was so friendly and showed us pictures of the restoration and just made us feel very welcome. So that was a really great experience. On day five, I was kind of around the Hippodrome. The Hippodrome just, you kind of think, well, there's three things to see there. The three remaining parts of the spina. And you've got a couple of obelisks there. And I just thought this won't be much to look at. But of course, they're massive. They're giant. And what's left of the Byzantine artwork there is really impressive. But then you can kind of see the substructure, the foundations of the Hippodrome. You get a sense of how vast it is. There's a museum, another great example of using an old cistern underground, turning it into a museum about the Hippodrome. And that's exciting. Again, if any of you have been to the website Byzantium 1200, the guy behind that has collaborated heavily to create this museum. So that's really exciting to see. There's a mosaic museum showing mosaics from the palace from Justinian's day. We went into the Church of St. Sergius and Bacchus, built again by Justinian. And, my camera person said that was the most beautiful church. And you really get a sense of when the empire was a superpower when you see that church, just beautifully designed columns and use of space. Yesterday I walked the walls about halfway along the Theodosian. But yeah, walking the walls, obviously very exciting. I was only able to climb up the outer walls for part of it. Yeah, it was great. It was fantastic to see the walls. It was a very hot, long day walking them. But I got a lot of good photos and videos, so exciting. Today, I have been in the Basilica Cistern and a couple of other cisterns, which is very pleasant when it's so hot outside. And the Basilica Cistern is very atmospheric. And there is music playing in there and everything, but it's very dark and you can get some great photos. Just a lot of good stuff. All over the place. The archaeological museum is amazing. The gardens there have, 500 or pieces of Byzantine sculpture or columns or capitals. There's Greek and Latin inscriptions over everything. As I say, just an amazing array of Roman and Byzantine stuff is still here and is still visible, and I am documenting it all. I think that's it for today. I obviously will have 1,000 other thoughts. I have met with local tour guides who are very positive and very keen to run tours for us. And so that is great news. I've spoken to local Turkish people about Byzantine history. I've responded to the Kickstarter backers' questions and things they wanted to know. It's been a huge amount of work. It's obviously been a pleasure, but I am, as I say, very tired, so I'm keeping this brief. I just wanted to say hi. I just wanted to say thank you all so much for sending me here, and I will bring back as much of the wonder as I can and make audio and video out of it. I hope you're doing well. I hope you're enjoying the episodes I pre-recorded, and I will be back with you soon.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Late bloomers tend to have more curiosity. They tend to have more resilience.
There's stories and mythology that this country has woven around black men.
This is the cavalry, right? These are the leaders, the hometown heroes and local leaders. And we are.
It's a survival mechanism to just be like worried of police.
What if everything we've been taught is just all wrong?
What's worth more than this fear right now?
And that rising after failure is part of the glory of being a human being.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.